This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will talk with the president and CEO of the Louisiana Lottery Corporation, Rose Hudson. First time the lottery was in Louisiana, went back to 1868, the first lottery in America. Didn't go so well back in the century, the 19th century, but things have gone much better in the 22 years since the lottery was reinstated in 1991. It is now a major part of budgeting for the state, and we'll talk with Rose Hudson about another strong year for the Louisiana Lottery. Also on the show, we'll visit with filmmaker Cleve Bailey. He is the man behind the well-received Inclusion Illusion, and he will have some thoughts about film in Louisiana and what is happening on the movie scene in our area. But now the news on Arkea. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside our area. Please call 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. J.C. Kane is producing this week as Kevin Gallagher takes a much-deserved week away from the studio. In studio is Rose Hudson, the president and CEO of the Louisiana Lottery Corporation. She's held that position for the last 7 years, and she's been with the lottery for 13 years. And each year she's been president and CEO, the lottery has produced more revenue for the state. The total proceeds for the fiscal year, which ended June 30th, $446 million, a record under Rose. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Well, nice to see you. And of that 446, how much goes back into the state coffers?
State gets a record $160.2 million.
So it's a substantial amount of money that could not be replaced easily if it were to go away. And it's done by virtue of what amounts to an optional form of gambling, or gaming, as we call it in Louisiana.
At least they gaming in Louisiana. Yeah, right. At least that's what I remember.
Well, you know, casinos, they come and go and have up years and down years, but the lottery just keeps going up. How do you explain it?
Well, you know, we call it a form of entertainment, and we run a business. And so we really try to focus on what our players want. Even though everybody thinks the lottery solely focuses on Powerball and big Powerball jackpots, our core players really enjoy our scratch-off tickets. And so we've had a very successful year with our scratch-off tickets. Our Monopoly ticket was very, very successful, so much so that we had to do a reprint of that ticket. Our Saints ticket, which we've just launched again, Black and Gold Saints, is a fun ticket for us, and our players enjoy that. So that's a bedrock for us.
Well, as of July of this year, the lottery has transferred more than $2.5 billion
with a B
to the state treasury in its 22 years. And I recall it was controversial when it began, in large part because of the first incarnation of the Louisiana Lottery, which was the first in the United States.
Well, you know, I wasn't alive.
No, you're in 1868. Even I wasn't alive then.
You weren't?
No, not on August 11th, 1868. Yesterday, by the way, would have been the 145th anniversary of the first Louisiana Lottery.
Yes.
But today we're in studio on the 61st birthday of Mayor President Melvin Kip Holden.
Yes, happy birthday.
But the lottery this time around has gone very well.
We've come a long way.
And there were concerns. As I stated, it was controversial, but it went to a vote of the people, and,
right,
and the vote was not particularly close. It was passed overwhelmingly by the citizens of Louisiana, and it has been an entity in state government without scandal.
That's correct. I was working in the legislature when all of that discussion took place and ultimately went to the voters. We work very hard. We talk a lot about integrity and public trust, and I think we've given the voters exactly what they wanted. The people, we call them our shareholders, and I think we've given them exactly what they wanted, a scandal-free business.
Well, by statute, the Louisiana Lottery transfers 35% of all revenues to state programs. And this has changed as far as where the money goes somewhat. There has been a misconception through the years about where the money actually goes, but In 2004, there was a change in which the first $500,000 actually goes to the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals Office of Behavioral Health to fund gambling problems.
Correct. The proceeds have always gone to fund K-12 public education. It's just that that constitutional amendment actually, there was a constitutional amendment that actually codified that. But that's one of our challenges to let the public know that that money has always gone to public education.
Well, it was in 2003 that voters approved the constitutional amendment that Rose cited, dedicating lottery proceeds to the Minimum Foundation Program, funding K-12 education in the state. So most of the $160 million that you just
mentioned. Other than that $500,000 that you talked about to fund the problem gaming.
Right. And you can imagine the hole in the budget if that $160 million went away.
We don't want to imagine that.
No. So the governor, who is on the record as not being all that enthused about gaming, he certainly likes the lottery a whole lot.
We haven't had that discussion, but I imagine they wouldn't want to talk about how to fill that hole.
Well, and I know people who play the lottery who don't participate in other forms of gaming, and you generally aren't going to lose your shirt playing the lottery, but occasionally you have some big winners. Who are the biggest victors as far as playing the lottery in Louisiana in the past year?
Well, we just had a trust, the Williams Trust, that claimed their lottery winnings about a week or so ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember. I think they claimed their share of a $50 million jackpot. We were we probably had been averaging about one Powerball jackpot winner a year, so we had been waiting for our turn to get a Powerball jackpot winner. So we've had 15 Powerball winners over the course of our participation in the Powerball jackpot game.
How do people's lives change when they hit a big jackpot like that?
Well, you know, that's the fun part of my job. No matter where I am, I look forward to the phone call that says we've got a winner in the office, just to hear what people plan to do. We had a group that came in here in Baton Rouge, group of realtors, and that was a life-altering experience for me to sit around the table with all of them and listen to what they plan to do. There was a cruise, everything from a cruise to, of course, you know, folks are going to pay bills, college education for grandchildren, some just sitting stunned and not really quite sure what they're going to do. You know, sometimes it's $30,000, $40,000, and sometimes when you're talking about millions of dollars, you really have to just take some time and think through it. The more time people take to process, the better they are, because it really means they understand these are big dollars and big life-altering dollars.
297-5633, if you'd like to get in touch with Rose Hudson, the president and CEO of the Louisiana Lottery for the past 7 years. As mentioned, this year, $446 million. That's the fiscal year that ended June 30th, and every one of the 7 years that Rose has been in charge, the lottery has increased its take as far as people who are participating. And now, for example, you have competition in Arkansas. That was not around when our lottery began.
That's correct.
1991. And I know some folks used to come across the border and buy their lottery tickets, but now they can buy them in their home state. Texas, does it have a lottery now?
Texas has a lottery. Texas Powerball and Mega Millions, and we're working cooperatively.
So generally, the money that's derived comes from the state of Louisiana.
Right. Okay. We just never want Mississippi to get a lottery.
Brian asks about the commission for businesses who participate. The percentage is?
Yeah, they receive a nickel.
5%. 5% for retailers.
Right, so we've given them about $25 million this year.
And for all the legwork and manpower and womanpower it takes to do the lottery, including its headquarters and 5 sales offices, technology for generating tickets, conducting drawings, ticket printing, advertising, promotion, staffing, that's what, 10%, something like that?
We're a little under 10%. We're running right about 7.5% these days.
Well, that's more than a little under. Yeah, 7.5% is a good number, and I would imagine when your proceeds go up, that number comes down.
Right.
So that's good. And what kind of thinking goes into new games like the one you just launched? What do you do? Do you sit around at a table?
Well, you know, the thing I love about leading an organization like the lottery and the folks that we have on board is innovation belongs to everybody. It's the job of everybody, whether it's the president or clerk in an office in the northern part of the state. We really have told everyone, this is your lottery. And so we've got innovative ideas that come from everywhere. We're going to launch a Words with Friends game. I don't play Words with Friends, but apparently that's a hot game my kids play.
So how will that work?
Well, it's going to be a scratch-off game. One of the vendors that we partner with has a very innovative scratch-off game that we're going to launch later on this year. So we really kind of have it's not just in our marketing department, not just in our sales department. Some innovative games. A lot of times I will throw out some ideas. Our ticket that we did with the Landrys, with Troy and Jacob Landry from Pierpart, that was one of my pet games, only because I'm a big fan of that show. One day we'll hopefully eventually be able to do a Duck Dynasty ticket, but right now we'll have to stand in line probably. So it just comes from those ideas come from everywhere.
And the Saints have been a big partner with you.
That's a huge strategic partnership that we adore our partnership with the Saints. It's been a great win for us. We can allow some people to not just have the opportunity to win up to $100,000, but some great second chance prizes. You'd be surprised how many people have never had the chance to go to a professional football game. And so the looks on the faces of our players when they are walking on the field and looking around, that's priceless.
Now, you were on the show, you've been on before several times, but a few years ago you noted that Mr. Drew Brees would not have his photograph taken with you.
That's not true. See, you're telling that story incorrectly.
Okay, well, what am I telling incorrectly?
Well, it was just a brief comment about he wanted to know how tall I was, and I told him, you've got to look over people taller than me on Sundays.
Well, as I remember, though, when you did have your photo taken with him,
I took two pictures, one with my shoes on and one with my shoes off.
Because with your shoes, I imagine even with your shoes off, you're taller than Drew Brees.
I'm a hair taller, but also I have big hair.
Yeah, and you're 6 feet.
I'm 6 feet without my shoes
on. Well, he's listed at 6 feet.
I will not talk bad about my favorite quarterback, but I'm not sure that
Drew Brees is not 6 feet tall?
I'm not quite sure he's even 6 feet.
But with your hair and your shoes, you must have just towered over this guy.
I'm more than...
Towered up.
I'm taller.
But he can play football.
Absolutely, and that's something
very
I cannot
well.
Do.
Very well. And the Saints have been a good partner, so I'm sure you don't want to do anything to that relationship. But for those who don't know, the Louisiana Lottery Corporation in 1868 was chartered, and it was the first lottery in the United States. And it brought in tons of money for its time. It was because of some shenanigans that went on that there was a great aversion to restarting it. But at the time, it was an innovative thing right after the Civil War. And it was something that had a great legacy in this state. And you have made sure that the sins of your predecessors have not been repeated.
My predecessors and I have tried to make sure that those sins have not repeated. We don't want to have to go to Honduras again.
Well, but the roots can be traced, I'm told, as far back as the Roman Empire. There was a lottery. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. Well, that's what was the casting of lots? And exactly.
Well, in 1868, a group of entrepreneurs established a privately owned business called the Louisiana Lottery Company, sold tickets nationwide. Yeah. And with only about 7% of the company's revenue coming from within the state, the lottery company quickly became one of the largest businesses in the United States. And it was ripe for corruption, and that's what we got. But the lottery this time around in the last 22 years has been a clean, smooth-running machine with lots of proceeds for the great state of Louisiana. And we'll talk with Rose Hudson about this success story and more. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. 877-217-5757. We'll be back in 90 seconds on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. Rose Hudson, President and CEO of the Louisiana Lottery, is with us. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. $446 million in proceeds this year, the fiscal year that ended June 30th. That's a record under the 7 years of Rose, and each year the proceeds, as far as people contributing to the lottery, and by virtue of that to the state of Louisiana, they've gone up and away, and I'm sure that Rose is projecting another strong year in 2013-14. But this has happened despite some problems in the economy. The lottery has been immune to the ups and downs that other businesses have faced during this period. And it says something about what's going on with the people of our state. Why do you think that people will play the lottery when they won't do other things? Maybe they don't go to the movies as much. Maybe they don't do other leisure things, but they'll play the Louisiana lottery.
We have thought about that a lot. We've talked about it a lot inside the organization, and I really think overall, I mean, we did have a price increase on Powerball from $1 to $2, but really overall, the cost of the entertainment lottery product really is relatively low. And I think you still have to go into a grocery store, a convenience store environment. It's relatively easy product to acquire. And I think that really, overall, that has made it relatively okay for our customers, our consumers, to acquire the product.
Now, we've had discussions on this show, Rose, about where the money goes, and we alluded to it in the last segment. But for years, many thought that it all went to education, and of course, a good portion of it does. And in fact, just about every dollar that you're able to turn back to the state does.
Right.
But why is there this misconception all these years later?
Well, I think because in the beginning, if you remember, in the very beginning, there was so much discussion, so much debate prior to the lottery actually passing the legislature. Every entity was at the table, whether it be elderly affairs, veterans affairs. There were so many entities that wanted a piece of that lottery dollar. And so I don't think the voters were really clear that education was the ultimate beneficiary. There was no, PR campaign or anything that ultimately came out. And I don't know that we did the job that we should have done in those early days to make sure. I think we probably were a little afraid. And so ultimately, once that constitutional amendment passed, even now when I go out and talk to community organizations, I still get that question. I still get that question from legislators. Mm-hmm. Where does the money go? So it's unfortunate because it's a sign of a lack of confidence or a lack of information on the part of those, as again I said, those shareholders, that they don't know where their money goes.
297-5633. We'll go to the phone lines in just a moment with Rose Hudson, President and CEO of the Louisiana Lottery Corporation. If you're calling long distance, please dial toll-free 877-217-5757, and you may reach us, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Thomas on Lee Drive. Thomas, good morning. You're on the air with Rose Hudson. Hi, Thomas.
Good morning, and Rose, nice working with you at LPB.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
One of the questions that I was curious about, and I may have missed the earlier part of the show, what sort of a percentage does the establishment that sells tickets get for this? I'll take my answer off.
Sure, Thomas. Our retailers, our retail partners receive a nickel on every dollar that they sell. We also do what we call cashing bonuses. A player that wins anything under $600 has the opportunity to go to a retail environment and receive their winnings, but every retailer does not cash. So we compensate some retailers if they decide that they want to cash tickets. We also do promotions from time to time to just kind of incentivize retailers, and that varies. So overall, we paid retailers across the state of Louisiana about $25 million this past fiscal year.
$25 million. That's right. Real money. Thank you, Thomas. 297-5633, your number for Rose Hudson, President and CEO of the Louisiana Lottery. A question here from Brian. He asks, when there's a big payout, or I guess any payout, but particularly these big ones, let's say if somebody wins $10 million. Mm-hmm. If they want it paid out over time, they get a different take than if they get cash. How does that work?
That's correct. And it's basically an annuity, and we don't handle that. We have a Powerball mm-hmm. organization, a multi-state lottery organization handles that, and basically they go out to the market and buy an annuity. So, you know, there's a calculation that happens, and Rose is mm-hmm. not involved in that. That's why this gentleman who just won, I think the last Powerball, the big Powerball jackpot with the three winners, two tickets in New Jersey and one in Minnesota. That poor guy says, I didn't know it was going to take 2 weeks to get my money. And that's exactly mm-hmm. why there's a period of time, even though he's taking the cash, there's a period of time to convert his winnings, collect all the money from all the states that participate in Powerball. And then, of course, you don't walk in and get a check. That money mm-hmm. goes into, that's a deposit into an account. But, of course, we have to buy purchase the annuity.
Okay, so you're going to get a nice payout either way. Do people usually quit their jobs and that sort of thing when they get these seven-figure payouts?
It appears that this gentleman had a big plan to quit his job.
Take this job.
Go ahead and sing the song, Johnny.
Johnny Paycheck. All right. Here's a question from LD. He asks if you can play the lottery, Rose Hudson.
Oh, gosh, could you imagine what an ethical dilemma that would be? No. My employees, the board of directors, anyone in my household or anyone in the employee's household, board of directors' household of age cannot play the lottery.
Has anyone ever been disqualified who won?
Well, we have a... we have a form that everyone has to fill out, and so it includes your Social Security number. So when mm-hmm. you come into the lottery, let's say you lived in my household, Jim. We hope that we'd never have that happen. But if you lived in my household and you came in to claim a prize, we would instantly check your Social Security number.
So I'd be out of luck.
You'd be out of luck. So we've never had that happen, thank goodness. Okay. So that's one of the big checks and balances.
Okay. 297-5633 is your number. Here's another inquiry. Let's say if JC and I buy a ticket together and mm-hmm. it wins, how is it determined how the proceeds go at that point?
Well, one of you needs to sign the ticket, or you can set up a trust or some sort of agreement. We've had people, you can sign mm-hmm. the ticket and you can claim the money, and then you guys split the money later on. We can divide up mm-hmm. send the tax form to both of you. Mm-hmm. We can send a tax form to both of you.
But what if I have the ticket and I suddenly say, JC,
I want you to be nice to JC, please.
Say, JC, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, now JC's probably going to end up having to sue you.
That has happened, hasn't it?
And it has happened. Yes, it has.
But in many of these cases, you read about these people, they go in like, five each or something like that?
We encourage people, and we have some information, I believe, on our website where we talk about groups and pools and writing the information down, committing the agreement to paper. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's happened where everyone puts in money for a week, and then all of a sudden Jim Inkster misses work and didn't put in his $2 for that week, and so we're sorry, that's the week that the group won. So we ask we encourage all that information to be committed to paper so that there's no conflict. We are not involved in it. Whoever comes in, it is a bearer instrument. So if JC walks in with that ticket and she signs the back of the ticket, that's JC's money.
So in that case, I would be out of luck.
You would be out of luck.
Okay. Here's a question from Jim. He asked, how many states have lotteries?
Right now, we are up to 45 states with lotteries, and I think that includes...
45.
Yeah, I think... I hope that I've gotten that correct, because Wyoming just approved a lottery.
And you were recently named, what is it, secretary?
Oh, my goodness. I'm the secretary of, it's my new title, secretary of the Multi-State Lottery Association, and also co-chair of vice chair of the Powerball game group.
And where did you meet? When you had this coronation?
We were in
coronation?
The coronation. It's not a coronation. Queen Lottery. No, we were in Seattle. Our last
Seattle.
Meeting was
I thought
in
you'd
Seattle.
Meet in Las Vegas or
oh,
Atlantic
no,
City.
Oh, no. No.
You were in Seattle.
We were in Seattle, locked in a room with the marathon meeting.
So your secretary, which probably means in a few years, you may be head of the whole thing.
We'll see.
If things go according to plan.
We'll see. There's no automatic ascension to the... to the top job.
Okay. When did Powerball come in?
We have been in Powerball, let's see, have we been, I guess, 19 years, I believe.
19 years,
yes.
And that's been an overwhelming success, hasn't it?
It has been.
Yeah.
It has been.
What about Mega Millions? I understand there's some changes coming to
Yes,
Mega
we've
Millions.
Got, you know, and it's a delicate balance to have, you know, two multi-state games, and of course, the portfolio has to be balanced and carefully balanced. And so with the overwhelming success of Powerball, we've got to do something with Mega Millions. So later on in October, we're going to make some changes. We're going to make it going to change that second tier, that match five tier winning prize from $250,000 to $1 million. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. And the price, of course, of the ticket will remain a dollar. And the starting jackpot will go from $12 million to $15 million. Minimum $5 million increase with each time the jackpot rolls. So we're looking to kind of revitalize that game, similar to what we did with Powerball.
Well, hurricanes affect lotteries, too, not only because people may have a little difficulty going out and getting their tickets, but particularly in Katrina and Rita, you had several of your locations wiped out, didn't you?
We had a really difficult time. Our retailers, we didn't, but our retailers, our business partners really did have a difficult time. But they bounced back, and ultimately we had a really successful year.
Now, I mentioned the 1868 start, 145 years ago yesterday. You have one of the first tickets.
I have
displayed,
a ticket actually in my office. Yes, I did.
Now, how did you get that ticket?
I'm not really sure. I think I just kind of inherited it when I inherited the office. But I kind of used it as a reminder of what not to do.
Well, voters overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment for the lottery in October of 1990. Now, Buddy Romer was governor then. I'm looking, the tally was 69 to 31. 69% of the people in the state voted for it, and it started officially September 6, 1991, right in the middle of the campaign for governor with Buddy Romer and Edwin Edwards and David Duke.
Wow.
And, that was a month before the primary, and people were playing the lottery, and it was very successful right from the start, wasn't
yes.
it?
So yes.
All the naysayers pretty much were proved wrong. But I think Edwin Edwards sometimes gets a bad rap for gambling in Louisiana. Most of the gambling that was passed under Buddy Romer,
right.
not under Edwin Edwards.
Right. No, it's hard to have the conversation, I believe, with some policymakers and get them to understand or at least say, you know, the staff of the lottery has done an excellent job. We turn over record proceeds, and we have done this. Our legislative auditor is very complimentary. We've just completed the 14th year without any audit findings or management comments, and I think that's something the policymakers and the citizens, our shareholders, are something they should be proud of.
You still have to spend a good part of your summer at the legislature, though, don't you?
Well, you know, it just depends on if there's something that's an attempt to do something unto us. If there is legislation over there, I try to go over there and provide information related to those pieces, those instruments. We do the legislature, the Joint Legislative Committee on the budget, does consider our budget. And so I do go over there and testify and talk about what the year's been like and give them that information. And then, of course, testify on any. There are several committees that provide oversight, and I do go and spend some time doing that as well.
And it is amazing that the lottery is one of the things that's worked pretty well in the state, but yet you still have some folks who are not pleased. That's the nature of the beast, isn't it?
It is the nature of the beast. It's difficult, but it is what it is.
So you have people like Gentleman William, who just wrote in saying, my only objection to the lottery is that it creates a few aristocrats and doesn't distribute the money broadly enough to boost local economies.
I don't know what to tell William. I mean, we've got a partnership with almost 3,000 businesses in the state of Louisiana. Those most small businesses are pleased to be in partnership with us. So we've got employees, 125 employees across the state of Louisiana. So that's a distribution of Louisiana dollars right there.
And I think most people view the lottery as a form of entertainment.
Right.
And how many forms of entertainment, whether it's an LSU or Southern football game or a movie theater or going out to a fine dining establishment, how many of those turn 35% back into the state?
You tell me.
You know, unless they're making huge profits, they're not turning that kind of money back.
Right.
So if it is viewed in that context, then I think there's a reasonable case that this is something that is not a drain.
You tell me a business that operates that makes $446 million and operates on less than 10%.
And I don't know of many people who go out and lose their life fortune on the lottery. It'd be a little hard to go in and buy $200,000 worth of tickets, wouldn't it?
It'd be a little bit difficult.
But there may be some wacky way that's done, but I've never heard of that.
Well, and you know,
but you can lose that much in one night at a casino.
Well, and we don't, you know, we encourage, even if you were to look at our marketing standards, our own internal guidelines, we don't promote games that talk about quitting your job or win for life. We stress the entertainment value. We talk about creating a budget. You know, when I go to Florida, I took my kids to Disney World this summer, and when I went to Florida, $20 was my limit, and I bought my $20. I had to have my Monopoly ticket, and then you walk away. So that's kind of what we use here, too.
Well, it's something that I think we'll be around for a while. I can't imagine, for example, we'll have a governor's campaign in a little over a year. In fact, it's probably already starting.
Almost.
Who's out there who's going to call for the abolition of the Louisiana lottery? I don't know of any candidate in his right mind or her right mind who would do that.
I hope they'd call and have a conversation with me first before they decide to do that.
But they might call. Some of them might call, as others have in the past, for getting away with getting rid of casino gambling.
Yeah.
Would you like that? That might actually help the lottery.
We're not in competition. Let me be clear. We're not in competition. The destination gaming has its place, and that's not our competition.
297-5633 is your number outside the area, 877-217-5757. We'll return a few more minutes with Rose Hudson, and we'll hear from one of the fine filmmakers who's been in this area the last year or so, Cleve Bailey, after this 90-second pause on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 or 877-217-5757. Rose Hudson, president of the Louisiana Lottery Corporation with offices in downtown Baton Rouge, is here talking about the lottery in Louisiana, now 22 years in its second incarnation. And you have other offices, Rose, in other parts of our great state?
Yes, we do. All over Monroe, Shreveport, Alexandria, Lafayette, and New Orleans.
All right. And the people who work for the lottery are not allowed to play and win. I guess you could play, but
you better not let me find out about it.
Yeah, well, that might not be a good thing. Maybe you shouldn't play at all. And your immediate family is prohibited as well.
Family members residing in your household.
In your household. So, okay, that makes sense. So the lottery last year, $446 million. Do you have a goal for the 2013-2014 year?
Well, what's interesting is we had a strategic plan a couple of years ago, and I really asked my staff, where should we be? And interestingly enough, they kind of knocked me back on my heels, and they said, we could be a half a billion dollar lottery. So we're about 2 years away from the end of the lifespan of that strategic plan. But we've gotten a little bit conservative because, of course, Greg Albrecht and those folks over at the Revenue Estimating Conference rely on our numbers. So we've taken it down a little bit, and we're looking at about probably about $420 million as a goal. But, of course, we stretched that out for ourselves. So.
Well, you were 26 million above that goal last year. But how many of the 45 lotteries in the country, how many are at the level Louisiana is?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell because we are one of the few lotteries that has a mandatory turnover with the 35%. So Oklahoma has a mandatory turnover. I think Kentucky has language that says as nearly as practical. So there's a little escape clause in theirs, which makes Louisiana one of the most successful lotteries in terms of percentage turnover.
What it returns.
Exactly.
Paula on Sherwood. Paula, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I didn't catch whether the question had already been asked. We had a governor who pushed for the lottery to be elected and put in place for the sole benefit of funds for education. What portion of the lottery winnings are used for education now?
Thank you, Paula. 35% of our gross revenue goes to K-12 education. That money, we transfer that money to the what's called the lottery proceeds fund that goes into the state treasury, with the exception of $500,000 that goes to the Department of Health and Hospitals to assist with the funding of problem gaming.
But before the constitutional amendment in 2004, you're saying most of the money went to education?
Exactly.
I think there's some misconception there about it wasn't codified, so.
Correct. The problem, Jim, was that it was not money on top of money that was already spent on K-12 education. So you don't get to see $160 million on top of money that was already spent on K-12. And that really is a shame. If that money had been dedicated from the beginning, you really could see a great benefit.
Well, it's good to visit with you as always, Rose Hudson.
Thank you so
graduate
much.
Of Dillard University.
Absolutely, great. And LSU as well.
And LSU. And
don't forget Redemptress.
And Redemptress. So she's a hometown girl. And people still talk to you about running for office?
Only you.
Well, you'd have to give up your day job. But
I love my day job. I can't give up my day job.
But you would be formidable. And certainly would have a presence if she can stand head and shoulders above Drew Brees.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Rose Hudson can command an audience. Thank you, and good luck in 2013-2014. You know our next guest.
I sure do. Grew up around the corner from one another.
Now, isn't that something? Yes. What corner was that, Cleve Bailey?
We live in Park Vista, which is in the Scotlandville section of Baton Rouge.
And I guess you knew each other.
Absolutely.
We did. We attended elementary school together until third grade, I think.
Same class?
Absolutely. Yes, same class.
Oh, my goodness.
We went to a seven-day Adventist school, small seven-day Adventist school in South Baton Rouge.
Really?
Yes, we did.
Huh. And Cleve Bailey has been with us once before. He went to college at Louisiana Tech.
That's correct.
Left and came back. Came back for a while. How long are you going to be here?
Well, I'll be leaving around August 20th.
So 8 days from now, you're out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been here for the summer and came down for the first international film festival in Louisiana. And our film, The Inclusion Illusion, won Baton Rouge, was well received.
It was well received.
Thank you very much.
Surprisingly, I say this in a good way, it got a lot of attention.
It really did. We were fortunate enough to be guests on your show, We spoke to the press club of Baton Rouge, and I think we had about 10 to 15 newspaper articles. And so I would consider that a good outing for a first film. Mm-hmm.
As far as the film, the inclusion allusion is about the One Baton Rouge resolution. We had John Delgado on this show a few weeks ago. He says he's going to push an ordinance. Are you pleased with that?
We are. The film's purpose was to promote discussion and to help to improve, let's say, living conditions and attitudes of a group of people who seem to be marginalized here in Baton Rouge. And we just want a comfortable living situation for as many people as possible.
You live in San Francisco.
I do.
When you're not here.
I do.
How is San Francisco different than your hometown in this respect, as far as openness, tolerance? How is it different?
Well, I think obviously, it's very open. One of the things that I found is that it really is a melting pot. It seems as if when you're from Louisiana, it seems to be pretty a line that's cut between black and white. Whereas in San Francisco and the Bay Area, you have many, many different people from all over the world. And I think with that diversity, you get a lot of different attitudes. You get new innovation. Mm-hmm. And I think those are some of the main differences.
Well, since you and Rose were growing up, have things gotten better?
Certainly, without a doubt.
How much better?
Here in Baton Rouge?
Yes.
Well, when you're younger, I don't think you focus as much on social issues or political issues or things of that sort. But I think that it's grown in terms of openness in some respects. Certainly, we have not done a perfect job, and we have some areas with which we can improve upon. But I think if you took a poll, most people would say that Baton Rouge is a better place to live.
Now, this inclusion illusion focused on the tolerance resolution, and much of the consternation about that regarded the part about sexual orientation. Do you think it's a case in our community where discrimination against gay people is as pronounced or not as pronounced as it is against people who are African American?
That's an interesting question. But I think that with the history of the country and the history of this particular region, one would have to say that challenges of being African American or a person of color might be, you know, more difficult, but I wouldn't be able to say it specifically as I'm not, you know, involved in the gay movement. Or
that's you're not gay, but you did a film, that a documentary about an issue that certainly is relevant to the gay community.
Certainly.
Why did you do it? What prompted you to get involved in this?
Well, actually, a friend of mine, Mr. Phil Smith, who is a business person here in Baton Rouge, and he had watched with some degree of concern the refusal of the city council to pass the One Baton Rouge resolution. And I was just finishing film school, and he invited me down to do a documentary on the subject matter. And so I initially balked and kind of complained. But as I began to research the issue and link it and relate it to some of the African-American issues that I faced, that some of my forefathers had faced, I think I began to realize that it was important for all people to be treated and looked upon in the same manner and without prejudice.
Where do you go from here? What's your next project?
My next project is a screenplay that I'm working on. It has something to do with the Trayvon Martin case, and I'm writing an original screenplay on that, and so that's what I've been working on this summer.
Will that be filmed here or elsewhere?
The filming of it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be in San Francisco.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Louisiana is a hotbed for the film industry.
It certainly is.
Is that going to stay the way it is, or could there be a change in the offing, particularly if the tax credits are reduced or go away?
One would think that if the tax credits were to leave, it might have or create a dip in the production value that film production crews can get. And so I would imagine that it might reduce the number of movies that are made here. Mm-hmm.
So how does a kid from Baker, I believe that's where you spent most of your youth,
yes, sir.
End up at Louisiana Tech? First, you went off to Ruston.
I did. We were ranked, I was a football player, and we were ranked number one in the state my senior year, and I was a tailback. And we had a cheerleader. This is an interesting story. We had a cheerleader whose husband was a scout for Louisiana Tech. And because we were having such success, they picked me up on the radar, and they did what I call a hard court press to get me up there. And it was a very enjoyable experience. In 1984, we were national runners-up for the national title in 1AA. And I had the good fortune of playing against Jerry Rice and the Mississippi State Devils. And we were successful against them. When
the Delta Devils. You beat them in the playoffs.
We did.
Beat them handily.
We did.
What was the score? You remember?
Oh, yeah.
68?
66-19.
66-19. How many yards did you get that day?
I think I had a reverse for about 69 yards. That was a touchdown, and it was very exciting. Yeah. And the people went wild, and it was just some great college days.
It was Willie Satellite Totten and Jerry All-World Rice, they called him. Archie Gunslinger Cooley was the coach.
The whole crew.
And you beat him 66-19.
Yeah, it was a funny story. We had a very motivational and spirited coach by the name of Coach Torbush. Carl Torbush. And Coach Torbush said, for every point that they get over 20, you guys are running to Dallas and back.
And they got so
they got 19.
They got 19.
Oh, God, he was quite a character.
But Jerry Rice is regarded by many now as the greatest. Well, he's certainly the greatest receiver, but maybe the greatest player. I'd say Jim Brown, but some might say Jerry Rice.
Right.
And you shut him down that day.
It wasn't me. It was a team effort, certainly. And we basically blitzed every play, and we sort of took their nerves. So it was a fun game.
You know, that would be a good documentary to do about that particular game. Because even though by then Louisiana Tech, as you show, had many African Americans, it was viewed by many, unfortunately, as a battle between a perennial white school and a perennial black school.
Okay.
And you won 66-19, and of course some people who aren't that enlightened about racial matters probably got pleased by the fact that this occurred.
I know I was. We haven't actually taken a poll. I can see where some people would think in those terms, but I really haven't had a chance to do that.
Didn't you beat another SWAC school along the way?
We did.
Alcorn.
And I think that score was 44-20.
And you beat Marino Kassam, didn't you? The Godfather?
We certainly did. Yeah. We certainly did.
Yeah. So you beat two SWAC stalwarts on the way to the championship game.
That's correct.
And what happened then?
Well, it's a funny story, and one that I'm still hot about. In those two games against SWAC schools, we scored 100 points in two games. And then against Montana State, we went back to smash my football, and that was not the answer that we needed on that day. And so we lost 19-6.
19-6, but you were runners-up for the national 1AA championship.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Louisiana Tech, the school that produced Terry Bradshaw, Fred Dean,
Carl Malone, Terrence Weatherspoon, and a host of other players who've been fortunate
enough
to
go through the pros. Great athletes have come through Ruston, including Cleve Bailey, who's now a documentary filmmaker, whose next project is Trayvon Martin. And I'm sure there'll be a few people in line doing that one.
Well, I anticipate that, or I'm going to do a follow-up on a fiction story about what Zimmerman's life might be like as a result of that verdict and things of that sort.
Yeah,
my girlfriend told me not to talk about this on. she said, "Don't talk about our."
Well,
but go ahead.
George Zimmerman's kind of gone into hiding.
Right.
And or seclusion might be a better way of putting it.
Right.
And at this point, that's probably a smart move on his part.
Right.
Well, thank you and good luck to you, and glad you spent some quality time here. We do have a listener who wants to know about the Inclusion Illusion. If people want to pick up a copy who haven't seen it, what's the best way to do that, Cleve?
We have a Facebook website that has the ability to order DVDs. That'll be so.
What is
be
it, Inclusion Illusion?
Yes. Okay. One Baton Rouge on right. Facebook.
And Rose Hudson, who has stayed with us. Here's a question for you, one that got in the last few minutes. Can employees of the Louisiana Lottery play in other lotteries in
yes.
other states?
Yes, and I do it all the time.
You do?
You can play, we cannot play Mega Millions or Powerball, but I call it market research, and I pick up scratch-off tickets everywhere.
So you can't play in which Louisiana is involved in any way, but you can go to Arkansas or Texas or some other state.
Right, and play their local
buy
online
a lottery
games
ticket.
And scratch-off
Now, if you
tickets.
Win, that's going to be a story.
You won't know about it.
Well, I might, depending on how much you win.
Depending on how much I win.
There you go. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Rose. Thank you, Cleve.
Certainly.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. For J.C. Kane, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.